My assignment is Elisha. So, I have a problem. Oh. Am I right, Elijah? Elisha. So I say Elijah, Elisha. Easy way, so I can distinguish. Yeah. Okay. Because one thing I find out during my study of this Elijah, this is a character we studied this 8 hours, Elijah and Elisha. I find out that it's not a character study, but we study about God, actually. This is my own discovery, just own understanding, you can say. Because at the beginning, I got shocked because GA assigned me 8 hours for these two characters. So how I can manage this 8 hour to study with you about these two characters? So I try. I tried, and then it was a great pressure during the last 2 weeks. Of course, you have a great pressure during this week for a lot of tests and assignments. I also struggle too, not here, but in LA. This is you. This much is you. Which one do you think is Elijah compared with you? This is you. This is I and you. And number one and number two. Which one is Elijah? Huh? Why is one? He's a human. Any other answer? 50-50. We started from the Elijah, because Elijah is the master leader. Elisha to be the successor of Elijah. So we study Elijah first.
I think we should be number two when Elijah is you.
Huh?
We should be number two when Elijah is you.
We should be number... This one, Elijah?
Yeah. That should be us.
Oh, we should... But this one should be out. Wow, this is tough. Because I already have my own answer. Let's turn to James chapter 5, verse 17. James chapter 5, verse 17. Anybody read off us?
Elijah was a man just like us.
Perfect. Yeah. Here it says, chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So, when we study Elijah is just like us. Equally the same. Elijah is not different than us. So he's a man, we are men. So he has the same nature that we have. So when he hungry, then he feel hungry, and he thirsty and thirsty, and he need a basic need for survive in his own life. So this is Elijah. So we can say this is equally the same. It's not Elijah is greater than us. Elijah is the same like us. Nothing different. When we know the story of Elijah, when he became himself, turned to be his nature back to him, what happened to him in his life? He afraid in Jezebel. You remember? After he performed the great, it's a great miracle, when he went up to the Mount Carmel, and he competed with a contest with a false prophet, Baal's 450s. He prayed to God and asked for sending the fire. So the God sent the fire through his altars. The altar has an offering object. But then he asked the people to pour the 12 basket of waters, a trench around there. But the fire came down from heaven. I don't know how, but it's a God's miracle. Yeah, I don't know how many miles from above to come down to eat up all the water and everything. We do not know, but this is a miracle of God. It definitely came from God. And then he asked them to kill the Baal's prophet, 450. So Israelites, they kill all of them, 450. And then he asked for the rain coming. So he went up to the top of the Mount Carmel and asked to God to send him the rain. And after this wonderful miracle, they send him the rain back to the land of Samaria. Now later on, when King Ahab told this story to his wife, Jezebel, and she got angry. So she determined to catch him, to kill. So he ran away. Just like us. He is afraid something that happened. But just like us. But what's the difference he and us? The difference is God is within him. So he with God. So he become a great man. Because he has a faith. The difference between the he and us, the difference of our faith. We can say it simply in this manner, we can say that. We know that David, before he become 18 years old, before he counted as a man, and he encountered with Goliath. He just merely the small young man. He's not the great warriors. He's just simply like us. Then how he so dare he can stand in front of Goliath? Because God is with him. He has such confidence within him. So he picked up the 5 stones. He doesn't have to throw the second stone and third stones. But first stone is enough to kill him. Don't you think so? Because it's not because of David, because of God. God killed the Goliath. It's not that David killed Goliath. You know the David he commits sin to later on. When he turned out to himself, just like us, sinful nature went back. He commits sin. And Elijah also, such a wonderful prophet. But later on he turned to be his own. The human, back to humans, human nature like us, and he failed too. So we here and all the brothers and sisters, we are nothing different than Elijah. We can be Elijah, simply I can say. We can be Elijah. Why we cannot be? Because we do not have a simple, strong faith. Yeah, that's why. Make sense? Also, this one applied to in our life. We can say everybody in this chapel, everybody have a different quality and different gift that they receive from God. Some have a more intelligence, some have a less, some have a different talent and different gift. We should not be proud because of what we have. We have to remember that. We equally the same each other. We are nothing different than that person and that person, that people. We are all same. We are not different at all. Because God created us, He created us His own image. So since we are being created by Him at His image, then we are equally the same. We're nothing we can proud ourselves, I'm better than the other person. Why? Because of these equations. So when you have when God give you more gift and talent, if you being proud because of what you have, the problem is you take the God's glory in your hands. You turn out to be, you forget about God, and you turn to be like this. Then it's a problem. Then turn out to be proud, coming in to destroy you. So we have to remember that every time that when we can like consider that we are very intelligent or you receive many gifted and talented, don't think that it's come from me and come from you. It's come from God. That's why we should not be proud because of what we have. There is a reason God gave us such gift and talent, because God wants us to use this for His purpose. Simply it is. Yeah. So every time, think about when we equally the same like Elisha. Nothing different. We just like Elijah. Elijah just like us. But I think about Elijah, when I read this Bible and his all the his work and his miracle done and for the Lord, we learn that Elijah, but plus why God is with him. We learn this one. So that we also same, we receive the same way, we can be like Elijah also. So that way we can do for the work for the Lord. So this is a focus on it. Elijah is he's a righteous man, because he always looking for the God's way. He never look at any something else, but he looking for the God's will to follow His way. He also a man of a prayer, and we read the James chapter 5 verse 17. Let's go back to James chapter 5 verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like us, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. He performed the miracles. He prayed to God, asked God to stop coming a rain for 3.5 years. And it happens. So this is considered a great miracle. Is it he performed the miracle? No. God did it. Why when he prayed to God to stop raining to the Samaria, it happened to the land of Samaria for 3.5 years? Because there is a will of God. It's simply straightforward. What is the meaning of the name? Let's look at your textbook. If you look at I pick up this textbook. It's not my, but several years ago, some other instructors to prepare this the material. I tried and I failed because I have to write English and my English is too. All my preparation is in my own language, so this is just using for the as a reference. Name here says Yahweh is my God. Somewhere the reference book, the meaning of Elijah is the God is my strength, God is my power. Well, pretty the same meanings. When we pray to God, that ask for giving us power. Sometimes we pray in these manners. But instead of that way we pray, we can pray to God to let us rely on Him. It's a better way that we can say that. Of course, God give us a strength, God give us a power, but God is our strength, God is our power. When we rely on Him, and He turn out to be our power, instead of He giving us a power, but when you rely on Him, He turn out to be our power and our strength. The concept is in this manner is easier. When God give us a power, the concept is, I want to do something, and then God give us a power so I can do my way, to help my way. But when we rely on God, then it's not the meaning that we are the one who give us the power so we can do, but we rely on Him, He doing for us. So simply it is in that way. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His mighty. We know because now generations are truly a spiritual battleground. We young generation, hopefully we can protect ourselves from the evil, from the Satan out there, so that we can obtain the salvation for the eternal life. Then we need a God's strength, that we are the one who rely on Him so He can protect us. When Moses was 40 years old, he already have he understood his Israelites. He willing to help his people at that time already. Do you think at that time he doesn't have a faith? He didn't have a faith? He has a faith. But way of understanding of God is little bit not the right direction, sir. That's why God couldn't use him at that moment. This is Moses. He want to help his people, age of 40 years old. He already received all the high education from the from the palace, and also he received all the precious also education from his mother, so he knows who he is. At the same time, what he has to do for his people, he knew it already. But what he did is he wanted to do by his own way. The Moses approaching a year of 40 years old, he know there is a God. When he do for the work for the Lord, then he knew that God helped him that much. But he doesn't understand that he has to rely on God. But he do his own way to approach it. What happened? It backfires. He killed the Egyptians. It turned out to be he has to run away for his life. Enemy is too big for him. He cannot control the enemy. He liked to push the enemy away so that he can deliver his people out of the slavery. But he couldn't do it at the age of 40 years of age because his understanding of problems. Because enemy is he thinks his enemy is impossible by his way to can manage it, but impossible. By age of 80 years old, what happened? He turned out to be himself the smaller. He turned out to be himself smaller. When God showed up in the burning bushes, and he never showed up himself, and God says, when God asked him to do it, go back to Egypt, do it for me. Lead these people out of Egypt. Hey, I have no strength. I have no power. I have my mouth, I cannot talk, I cannot speak. How can I do it? God asked him, but no, I cannot do it. Smaller himself. But then God used him at that time. Because he's ready to accept the God. He knows how to rely on God. His attitude in that manner to accomplish the will of God. When God helped, the enemy size is smaller, definitely. Enemy size is smaller. Think about an 80 years old man. When he went into the palace, there is a pharaoh is waiting for him. How he can deal with the pharaoh to bring his people out of Egypt? One old man. Do you think it's possible as a man's way? It is impossible. But because of he just rely on God. So that makes it possible. We can be a great man too in the sight of God when we rely on God. So let him work for me. Let him work for us. And this is the simple concept that we can apply in our life. Let's turn to First Kings, chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settler of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my words." When this is the first time the showing up the who is Elijah. Elijah is a Tishbite, so here's who was of the settler of Gilead. Where is Gilead? I have a map, so I know. At least we have a little bit of a knowledge about the map of the Israel. It's good. There around here, Jabbok River. This is a dam. And about here, the walls will save up. It is good to remember at least this much of Israel. Then it helps you a lot. Because everything within from here to here anyway. Because this is north and this is south. Simple. So this is the Sea of Galilee and this is Dead Sea. Yeah. So what is here? Yeah, Mount Camera. Camera, and here's another small
Amor
River. Oh, maybe different map. Well, we'll see. But just rely on my mind and things. Brooke? Brooke, Cherith. Is it Cherith or Kerith? Kerith? Cherith is better? Nobody care than Cherith. Okay. Because this Brooke Cherith is very, if you look at the chapter 17, verse 5, when God asked, there's a drought attacked the land, and the God asked him to go there because God want to save him. So there's still there, this Brook Cherith has water. So God sent him there to survive. Reuben brought a food, right? What is a meat and a bread brought to the Elijah. So remember, Tishah is here. So my English is terrible, so I always have a problem when I send my report to GA.
I think we don't have a big problem.
So Tishbe is here. So Tishbe is the play. If your map is not that good, it didn't show up, really. My map is good, so that's why I showed up here. And this is very good. This is Oxford Bible Atlas, so it's good. So Tishah is here. Where is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is around here. And then Samaria. Right there. So he came from here. Where is Gilead? Gilead is these areas called Gilead. Is that true? Your map say right? So it's Gilead. What tribes are here? When the Jehoshua to conquer the land, remember? And then he divided the land, right? To the 12. Manasseh, Gad, here. What is Manasseh? Manasseh, God. Anybody? Manasseh, God. Huh? That's okay. I better not fight it. So possibility that here's mentioned that the Elisha, the Tishbites, who was of a settler of Gilead. So settler of Gilead. This area, the possibility he came from the Manasseh or God, tribe of God or Manasseh. So we do not know. Bible doesn't mention. So we don't have to guess anyway. But at least we can try approach in this manner, and this much we can discover out of it. And also another place, if you look at the verse 9, 17 verse 9, arise. After the brook Cherith is dried out, so God sent him to the one of the widow's place. The widow is a Zarephath. Where is a Zarephath? Where is the Zarephath? Do your map shows? If your map shows, then your map is a good map. If it doesn't show, then just normally just regular map. Here is Sidon. We know the Sidon, right? About the same altitude around here. This is a Paros. Tyre. T-Y-R-T. And then a Zarephath is located here. Zarephath. You know the Jezebel, where she came from? Sidon. So he came from here. So the Sidon, so this much you can get the idea, then later on you can make sense. When Elijah, he asked King Ahab to brought Baals and Asherah 450s, the Baal's prophet, and 400 what? Who is it? Baals and, do you remember? Supposed to be 850 show up there. But according to the Bible, I do not know. It's all 850 showed up there, but we know the Baals 450, they were all killed. Yeah. So he asked them to come up here to Mount Carmel, the contest. That who is their God? Carmel. Carmel. How to spell it? Car. That's good. If you know there's a Mount Carmel here, Carmel here. And then there's a river also. It kind of Kishon is there. So according to geographically, the Mount Carmel and toward to the Kishon is like a very steep cliff. So possible that these 450, when Israel killed them, just push them to let them fall to die on the rocky place. But this is a guessing. So they say killed. So we just understand they were all killed anyway. After he this contest, and he asked God for coming of rain. So he went up to the Mount Carmel and he prayed to God how many times? Seven times. And then the cloud coming closer and bigger, and the rain came down. After that, he ran, dashed to, because he ran away from the Jezebel. Where he dashed, he ran away from the Jezebel. Because he afraid his life, so he ran away from the Jezebel. Because I read, I know, but because I had to prepare, so I read it, so I know. Huh? Yeah, that's why I read pinpoint here then. And then God, because he's so tired, even he asked to God, just give up his life. I think physically at that time he was very tired. So mentally he couldn't manage himself. So he asked his life, giving up his life even at that moment. But God gave him strength. God gave him strength. And then he went to Mount Horeb. Yeah, Mount of God. And then he get the strength there. And then later on he came back to his he did the final mission. And then he find out the successors, so Elisha, to give him the work that send him to be a successor to the continue the God's work to follow after that. And also you can see there is a three very important city later on it showed up in the Bible, three locations. If you look at the Bible, do you remember three place? It's in the show up in the Second King. Second King chapter. You can say chapter from chapter 2. You can tell. Second King in chapter 2. What are the three locations? Bethel. Where is the location, Bethel? Bethel, around here? How about the next locations? Gilgal. Where is the Gilgal?
Here or here?
How about the next location? This is not clear, so it's good to, you can look at later, look at your map and the end of the Bible, so that helps you. Where is the Jericho? Is it very close to where? Gilgal. Yeah, very close to Gilgal.
It's around just right here.
Because the three location is important because of when Elijah training the prophet there. So it's like a prophet school was there. So these three locations. Elisha, to cross over the Jordan River. And then Elisha sent up to heaven, right? And then come back. And people from this side saw in this instance from what city? That's okay, because you don't read it yet, so then later you figure it out then. Map really help us to understand how it happened, what happened in the location. So sometimes you go back to the map and see what happened, how he doing, what he has done, where and which location, where he came from. At least you just review once. This much you know the Bible map, then a lot, actually a lot. But many times we look at it and later we forget it. So that's a problem. But anyway. Now, this much is the map information that we'll study Elijah and Elisha. When at the beginning the Elijah, when he prayed to God, the according to 1 Kings chapter 17, at the beginning he prayed that he understood that the Israelites, they commit sin greatly in the sight of God. What kind of sin they commit? Northern Israel. They worship the Baal and other foreign gods. That was, and also they worship their own, create their own God. Do you remember who is the first king of the northern kingdoms? Jeroboam. What happened? What he did it? Do you remember? Put the golden calf. Put where and where to ask his people to worship? Dan. And Bethel? Is that Bethel? It's a Bethel. So two places. So two places put the golden calf. So let the Israelites worship them. Because he afraid, because politically, if a people, do you remember every year all the Israelites, the men, they have to go to where? How many times? Three times a year they have to go to Jerusalem. So politically, if he want to holding the country to tied up to ask, do not, you know, scatter them. So it's good to such a strategic location. So let them worship in their own place, so that they secure their politically, he can holding powers. So that's why he created his own God for the people to let them worship. This is your God. You can come here to worship. So he invited the chosen people to worship the idol. That's why God punished Jeroboam and his peoples. If you look at the background, the northern kingdoms, it's really terrible. You want to be a king of the Israel, and then after 2 years, you're killed by somebody. You want to be a king? You want to be a king of the Israel for 7 days. You will kill somebody else, by somebody else. You want to be the king of the nations? Yeah. This is their story. They have a, after Solomon, and then about 60 years, 7 kings just keep, you know, one killed by the somebody else, one killed by the illness, something like that. So like Jeroboam, he 22 years, he ruled over the northern kingdoms. But because he committed a great sin in the sight of God, and God punished him. So he died with the illness. Let's look at this is the little of background. 1 Kings chapter 14. verse 8. Anybody can read us from verse 8 to 11? Anybody whose voice is still okay, then please read it.
Because of this, I am going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as one burns stone until it is all gone. Verse 11. God will eat those belongings to Jeroboam who died in the city, and the bird of the air will feed on those who died in the city. The Lord has spoken.
Thank you for your sacrifice, your voice. Here, the verse 8 to 11, you can tell here, he truly commit the great sin because he's the one lead his people to commit the sin. And he received these consequences later on. If you look at the chapter 15, verse 27 to 30, it happened to his people. Later on, his son, Nadab, to be the king of the nations later on, but his reign only for 2 years, and then he was killed by Baasa, which is Baasa is a third king. Okay, and then so I want to I write down that there's these kings.
After the Solomon, about 58 years,
Every king is changed in this manner. But they all like kill some of this one and kill this one. And not only kill the Nadab, the whole in his Jeroboam's household.
Kill them all, kind of eliminate them.
And this Baasa for 24 years to rule over the nations. Quite long his time. But later on, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 32 to 34. Anybody? Mm. 32 to 34, chapter 15. First King.
Chapter 15, verse 32. There was war between Asher and Baasha, king of Israel, throughout their reign.
But he's lucky he died peacefully, actually. And then next king, his son, the next king is Eli. He became a king of the nations for only 2 years. And then he was killed by the Jimri. Zimri? Yeah, Jimri. And the Jimri, after 7 days, he also killed by the Omri. 7 days. So 7 days, 7 days the king is a Jimri. So, and Jimri was killed by the Omri. And the Omri, from the Omri, is it Omri? Am I right? I think so. Omri, and then his kingdom somehow continue for several king later on. But I like to share here because of this background. When all these kings, they against God, they forsake God, their life is not peaceful at all. They can make their life successful, but they couldn't. God make them, each one of them, God make the kind of punish their life so they cannot make the successful life. They still cannot awakening themselves. They do not realize why it happened to their kingdoms. Because they worship the idols. But nobody really figure it out. Even God sent many prophets and warning them. And just like Elijah came to the king to warning them. So they still stubborn neck, cannot change their life. So each one of them, they receive the great consequences. We as a brother and sister here, it is important that we submit to God with our humble heart. What the Bible said is the truth. 2,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago, this Bible is always the truth, because this is the word of God. Never changed. It doesn't matter our lifestyle changed, our concept is changed, no matter what, and we can change, but Bible never changed. So we have to hold our principle, that our standard based on the Bible is important things. So especially this generation, we have to be very careful to out there. We should not be to mix up with the out there, the other concept of the worldly concept, to mix up with our faith. Faith is only come from the Bible. It solely come from the Bible. We should not follow the same manner like this, you know, northern kingdoms, their kings. Nobody make a successful life because they're cursed by God, they're punished by God. So Elijah had come out here during the King Ahab. So the time wise, look at it here. Here the your textbook says some 865 to 852 BC. So it's about 2,850 years ago. He came out to do the work for the Lord. What do you think the now generations are? We are similar like this generation actually. When we look at the out there, our generation, we are quite similar like this generation. Everybody is seeking something else nowadays, seeking their own pleasures. When you go out and you look at the society, and it's like animals. When you look at the TV, you can clearly tell. There's many, many programs. You look at it. This is not a man's life. This is an animal's life. There's many programs, you know, right? It's hard to name them, but can you name those programs? Should I have to name? Because I watch it sometimes, so I know that one. What is a talk show such as terrible ones? Huh? Yeah. If I say it, then prove that I'm watching all the time, so you saying it's good. What else? Have you seen the changing the partners? Huh? Change of hearts. You know, what kind of program is that? Is that really, animal cannot do that too? Do you know, animal cannot do that too? Change what? Change your heart, right? Things change, yeah. Animal cannot do that too. Yeah. Have you seen any other programs? Huh? Survivor. Well, I know better than you then. Have you seen the fifth wheel? Oh, that's okay then, it's alright. No Mormon named that. See, if you look at the TV nowadays, it's really terrible, really. They gives us influence that only just our like animal's instincts, seeking the animal's instincts, and seeking for the pleasure, only that direction. It sounds like it's okay in this world. This is now the out there is our world. That's why we as a Christians, we are different. We are different. We are not animals. We are the God's creation, you know. We are the one who do have integrity. That we are the one have a faith. We are the one, the children of God. So sometimes the heart, that you know, the temptation coming in, remember, we are not like them. If you follow the same direction like them, we giving up our own salvation. You know how terrible it is? Because you want to exchange, because of such a temptation, you give up your salvation. Don't do that. Don't do that. We are different. Our citizenship belongs to the kingdom of God. Later on, you see the how serious that consequence is when you die, when I die. We do not do that. We should not do that. Because salvation is the most important thing in your life and my life. No matter what, we should not give up this salvation. Especially our young generation, we and you and I, let us aware this one. Let us remember. We should not be follow their, you know, their footsteps. We are different. I hope because tonight, if you have a time, please read 1 Kings chapter 17, 8, from 17 to 2 Kings chapter 1 and 2. Then you can get all the idea what Elijah did, how he performed the miracles and he himself to glorify God through all the work. So that might help, so you can see there's some understanding of background also. So tomorrow I think we just go study about Elijah. Elijah is only a few chapters covered. So I'm thinking how I can cover all within the next 3 hours. I hope that God gave me the inspirations, God gave me the wisdom, so that I can handle this hour to edify, and then also give you some knowledge that helps you your spirituality. Now we have a prayer session coming up, so let us. What we study here in every day in the about the Bible is precious. It helps us to understand God. If we understand the God and the knowledge of God in the Bible, then we can draw near to God better than before. And also our prayer every day, our prayer morning and afternoon and throughout the lunch and dinner time, you dedicate your prayer. It truly helps you to spirituality, revive your faith, to help you to walk in the path of Christ. We are the one in 120, is very precious, all the soul here. We can be one mind, one accord, to searching for the Lord, to do the work for the Lord, then we can do many things. Each one of you truly show your truthful heart to the Lord each time when we kneel down, when we pray. God truly help us. I remember when first time when I attended that NYTS, I repent at that time. So, because I haven't, at that time, beforehand, I never attended NYTS. And at that time, no other things, but I kneel down and pray to God. I repent. Forgive my sin. So far, I neglect about your work, and I neglect all the word of God, not truthfully follow the way of God. At the first day, I kneel down, pray to God. I cannot pray. I couldn't pray well. So I can realize that there's something wrong in myself. So I start to pray from then on. I decide to pray, pray for my sin. So throughout the entire two weeks, I pray for my sin. So I repent and keep repenting. Even at the fasting prayer, I pray for forgiveness of my sins. And toward the end of the NYTS, I feel really different about toward to. Although some class I do a lot, but my heart is I can feel it. I can keep cleansing myself. So my communication with God is getting better and better. So I really enjoy that the prayer session every time. Willing to. Although it's very tired, but prayer session is so sweet. The toward to the end. I hope that this experience help us to remember, that the memory help us to guide us our path in the Lord. Let us kneel down, pray together. God continue to help us this NYTS and give us wisdom and give us open heart so that we can understand God better and more, so that He help us our spirituality. We can pray together.